Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, June 23rd, 2019.
First reading today is from Isaiah. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here am I, here am I," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it." So I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 3. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him to let these enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen heard what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lost
our. Yeah.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the demons begged Jesus not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Why? Why did Jesus let those innocent pigs die? Isn't that animal cruelty? Why did Jesus let the demons go into the pigs? Why does Jesus grant the demons' request? No doubt these are questions people might ask today, especially in a culture that holds animal rights in such high regard. And that's fine. But all those questions lead to a far larger question that needs to be asked. Why does God do anything at all? Here's the answer. You. For you. For your good. God allows all things to happen, whether good or bad, solely for the good of his people and for their salvation. Everything in life, good and bad alike, should be recognized for what it really is. Another teaching moment, another wake-up call to repentance, and another reminder of God's word and promise to us. But how often have we missed those teaching moments in our lives? Maybe we're too busy throwing a pity party for ourselves. Woe is me, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Or maybe we're trying to second guess or outguess God. Hey, let's give God a hand. Why don't we try this? No, we won't try that though. After all, there's really no good purpose in going into some of those areas where we're actually going to have to do something in faith as an expression of our trust in him. So we'll walk the safe path. You know, we'll make a few compromises along the way, okay? After all, his word really doesn't mean that, does it? We'll do whatever we can to sidestep those crosses in our lives. And when we do that, how often do we miss out on God's teaching moments? Because we convince ourselves that we know better than him. Let's be honest, shall we? We fix our attention on the wrong things. We ask the wrong questions. We limit our focus on the demons and the pigs. What about that man who had the demons exorcised from him? He certainly needed Christ, didn't he? And God worked out these things for his good and for his salvation. And what about the townspeople who had heard of what Jesus had done with that herd? Those people needed to know about the deadliness of sin and the life that is only known in Christ Jesus, right? Of course. And again, no one would disagree that God worked these things for their good and for their salvation. And these are important facts, to be sure. But there is still something we have overlooked here. In fact, it's the main point of the story. What we so often fail to notice is this. Are those people who are already there, who are already God's people by faith? When this took place, Jesus' disciples were there. As a matter of fact, they saw the whole thing go down. They witnessed the entire encounter. So, did they need to be taught the truth of the deadliness of sin and of the life that is only known in Christ? And do you? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you realize that the devil is after you? As a matter of fact, he gives you his special and undivided attention. Now, the devil doesn't concern himself at all the people out there who have no knowledge of Christ and live their lives apart from the gospel truth. The devil doesn't care about people who have no desire to be a part of Christ. People who are worshiping the mattress god, or the breakfast god, or the fishing god, or the baseball god, or the golfing god. Even as I speak to you right now. No, faithful Christians, the devil is interested in you because he hates you. The devil despises your faith in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you here. He doesn't want you to have this spiritual nutrition. He wants to steal away your faith and life and soul from you. And the devil would like nothing more than to have you join him in hell. Now, before you think I'm going Baptist on you, this is not scared straight, okay? This is a real life teaching moment. Jesus reinforces what he teaches with practical, real life experience so that his disciples can see the truth and reality of what he is teaching them. And for this purpose, I have to offer a sidebar. I doubt that many of you thought about the parable of the sower when you heard this text. But I can guarantee you this, Jesus' disciples did. Now, you might be thinking, what's that got to do with this? What are you talking about? And what makes me so certain of what I say? One word in the text, drowned it. Now, I don't use the original Greek that often, but in the original Greek, apollygo means choked. And there are only two times when this word is used in the entire New Testament, in this text and in the parable of the sower. Now, in that parable, the seed cast among the thorns and thistles sprouts up, but is soon choked out and drowns by the weeds and dies. This type of seed describes people who hear the word of God, but that word soon becomes displaced and overcome by life's cares and riches and pleasures. And the word is choked out, it drowns, and it dies. And I'm going to ask you to do something about that today. I want you to take a few minutes after church when you get home to read the 8th chapter of St. Luke. Because when you do, you will see almost immediately after Jesus taught the disciples the parable of the sower. The disciples saw the reality of his teaching as they watched that herd of pigs stampede down the hill to their death and demise. How's that for a lesson in reinforcement? You see, Jesus is showing his followers, he's showing Christians, what the way of faith looks like in this fallen and sinful world. And even more specifically, he shows them what the absence of faith looks like and results in. And that is death of the worst and eternal sort. My friends, this is extremely important. You must understand what Jesus is showing us here. Because the absence of faith in someone's life doesn't mean just a mere emptiness or void, as if there's a vacancy in your soul. The laws of physics state that nature abhors a vacuum. The very same can be said for your soul. A God-shaped vacuum in someone's soul will not stay empty. Rest assured it will be filled, but it just won't be filled with God. And the devil is more than happy to fill it in any way he can. As I said before, the devil works the hardest on the most faithful of us. And the disciples were constantly at risk of losing eternal life, simply because life in the here and now can get a little comfortable. Kind of like today, right? Jesus was simply showing them what the end result of that proverbial choking and drowning meant. It meant death and eternal damnation. And that they had Abraham as their forefather didn't matter a bit. And it didn't matter how many good deeds they had done or how famous they were, or how much money they had in their pockets or put in the offering plate. Without faith in Jesus Christ, the end result for anyone would be no different than that of those pigs. And that is death. Well, suffice to say, we have no stampeding herd of pigs here this day to help make Jesus' point for us. But what we have here, just like they had back then, is the very word of Christ. And what Christ teaches you today is no less true for you than it was for those disciples who were watching as this stampede took place. My friends, recognize this. God's word is reality. Reality. And what Christ teaches you is no less true for you than it was for those disciples. That's important. The Word of God stands constant. It stands firm. for all who follow Jesus and are God's children by faith. We need to remember that because of the ways of the world out there continue to entice us and seduce us. You may not realize it, but you and I stand at continual risk of being drowned and choked to death by the demonic influences in this sinful and fallen world. And I suppose that's why it's really no coincidence when many people speak of drowning in debt or drowning in sorrow. It's true. Take it from me. I know what it's like to have the heat turned up in on life. I've known what it's like to struggle and to suffer. But I'm not telling anything new because so do you. There is not one of us here who can honestly say that they've never given in to the temptation of ease and have turned their back on God, or at the very least, look to Him as a last resort instead of looking to Him first and always, instead of looking to Him only and Him alone. He is the only one who can keep you safe when life's troubled waters rise up around you. And that's important to remember because life is tough. You know it, and so do I. We must look to Christ. We must listen to Christ. We must be like Peter, who when others were abandoning Christ, confidently declared, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Yes, He does. So be confident in Him and make Peter's blessed confession of faith your own. Take it to heart and let this word guide you throughout your life. And may you, my friends, just like that once possessed man whom Jesus restored, be made alive by Christ and His word. And finally, on this day which God has given to you, may you depart in His peace. And returning to your homes, proclaim all that your Lord has done for you and all that He still does for you this day in His word and sacrament. Come this day and receive it with joy, and then go in His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.